together with us. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. I am encouraging that we continue listening to God's word, receiving God's word. There we are, one down. It was quite close. Okay. That's fine. My hand went too far. Thank you. That's great. To continue looking with me through Matthew. And today, I encourage you to turn with me to chapter 27. As you turn there, let me give just a brief introduction, which I trust will help. Children, please pay attention. Give me your ears. Surely you can identify with what I am going to say. Children, please listen. But I'm also inviting the adults to listen to this. Imagine children playing. During this time of holiday, there is so much playing going on. But imagine children playing with one another, laughing in the neighborhood, and throwing stones as they usually do. And then a stone should miss wherever it was being directed and breaks a window of someone. And the window glass splashes everywhere. And the person in the house rushes out. What has happened? And then they find out that children who were playing have thrown a stone. One of them has broken the window. And the play comes to a stop. All that laughter, there is quiet. Children, there is quiet, or quietness, silence. And then you may listen to a voice, or two, or three, or many, beginning to sing together. Aya Marakanjo, Aya Marakanjo. Children, have you heard that before? I think some of you know it so well. I think I knew it when we were young, but we didn't sing it very much. When that is sung, the rest of the children are basically telling the one who threw the stone, you are in trouble. And the trouble is yours alone. Friendship dies off immediately. They are ready to tell you, Missy Kujui, Missy Kujui. They abandon you. And yet, you are playing, having fun, making jokes. Now I'm bringing this story because it brings us into the passage we are going to read and try to get some lessons. Lessons from Judas hanging himself. So if you're already there, Matthew chapter 27, I want to read the first 10 verses. This is what we read. Remember, it's the time when the Lord Jesus is facing very unfair trial tried by the religious leaders. Chapter 27, verse 1. When morning came, all the chief priests And the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Verse 3. Then, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying an innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he, that is Judas, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. So that's the reading of God's word. I want us to spend these few moments and draw some lessons. Obviously, the first thing that we see in verses 1 and 2 is what we would here call the third and the final stage of the religious trial. When I talk of the religious trial, I'm thinking of the high priest, the scribes, the elders, you know, the whole Supreme Court, we may say, the Sanhedrin. They held, already they have had two trials actually. The first one was before the ex-high priest. Jesus was brought before him. He listened to whatever he wanted to listen to. That is given to us in the book of John, the Gospel of John chapter 18. And then the second one, that is the second trial, is what we saw last week previously. Where Jesus appeared before the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin. And we saw that in verses 57 to 68. Now, this third one seemed to be rushed. It's early in the morning, and they gathered together. They consulted one another. Why? These people want to come up with a solid case to be presented before Governor Pilate. They must have a solid case. And remember what they had planned. They wanted to see Jesus dead. But they themselves, as the Jewish people, they are under the rule of the Romans. They were never allowed by law to put anyone to death. And so they have to come up with a strong, convincing case and tell the governor that, governor, this man is worthy of death. So what is it that they will bring before the governor? Well, actually, they agreed to accuse him of treason. Treason, that's a big word for some of you, but they accuse him for bringing commotion, bringing division, if you like, causing trouble in the nation. Because they knew if they bring that before the Roman rulers, then at least they would have a case. Just turn with me briefly to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 2. Let me read from verse 1. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And in verse 2, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation." There you go. Treason. They are telling the governor, Pilate, he's misleading our nation, forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. So that is the charge they thought, if they go forward with, at least they will have their way. Rome otherwise would not bother with things to do with blasphemy. If someone should call themselves a god, who is that? Each person can have their own god. So that's fine. If he claims to be a god, fine. So they had to come up with something that they knew would make their case strong. Treason? Yes. So on agreement on that, they bound Jesus and brought him to Pilate. So it's just good to know those facts, because later, God willing, next Sunday, we will see how that unfolds. However, we are faced with a passage. Again, a passage which Matthew is very honest to bring before us. But it's one of those passages that, if it's not because of the truth of the Word of God, would very conveniently be left out. The matter of Judas hanging himself. And so, from verses 3 to 10, we see just that. We had read it. You see, previously we saw Judas had colluded. Judas had held this secret agreement with the chief priests and the elders when he received 30 pieces of silver. And he said, "Listen, okay, the deal is set. I am going to deliver this man to you." If you go back to chapter 26, verse 14, we read verse 14, chapter 26, "Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him." Well, he carried out the wicked act and sold his master to the enemies. And now that Jesus is condemned, Judas saw his action was sinful. And honestly, we are learning here that those who do evil, they see little. They see little. Or they see even no evil while they do it. But later, they regret the consequences. Who among us is exempt from that? Who among us can say, oh, that's not me? I mean, that's Judas and the likes of him. I mean, I'm home and dry. That doesn't affect me. I hope that what Judas did actually exposes each one of us. And to be able to say, if it was not for the grace of God, I would be just like Judas. But here, he sells his master. His master now has been condemned to death. And this religious community, religious authority, are determined to have him killed. Now Judas wakes up to that reality. You see, Satan had tempted Judas to presumption. But now, instead of Judas doing the right thing, honestly, Satan Father shows him that it is all but despair. Judas, there's no hope for you, Judas. You've done it, but honestly, there's no hope for you. Now that's Satan. Remember, he had entered Judas. The Lord Jesus had told us. But even when he comes to see that his action is bad, it's wicked, instead of turning to the right person, he still allowed himself, as it were, to listen to Satan. No, Judas, there's no hope. Just despair. You see, verse 4. He came to these people and saying to them, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. I've sinned. Interestingly, he goes to them. He doesn't go to God. Judas' confession to the chief priests now brings forth, please listen to this, the full proof that Jesus is an innocent man. Jesus is so innocent. His enemy, though he was with him all this time, blinded by Satan, fixed on his own sinful pursuit, Judas now confesses, Jesus is innocent. He's an innocent man. But the ones to whom he confesses, what we see of them here, they were so hardened to hear any of that. They were so hardened. If honestly, the message of Judas came to them and they said, what? Are you sure, Judas? You mean he's innocent? They should have retracted and said, okay, then we are not going to Pilate. No, they were hardened to the heart. And there in verse 4 again, when Judas said, he's an innocent man. I've betrayed an innocent man. I have sinned. What do they say? What is that to us? See to it yourself. What is that to us? We are fixed. We've got a mission to accomplish. And nothing will stop us. And you come telling us that he's innocent? No. And from that moment, we see no more roadblocks. No more roadblocks for Judas. while he was with Jesus and listening to the teachings. Even when Jesus is saying, we are heading to Jerusalem and the Son of Man will be mistreated. Those are roadblocks, roadblocks. But when his people say to him, what's that to us? See to it yourself. We've got a mission here to accomplish. And all the roadblocks are gone. And what we see is a man hopelessly sliding to self-destruction. That's what we see here now. Because we note, look with me at verse 5. Just see, like a movie, those quick moving clips in a movie. Verse 5. He's been told, come on, deal, sort that out. Sort that out yourself. The higher Maracanjo has been sung a few times. The little boy who threw the stone and knocked the window now realizes that he's alone. He's going to face the honor of the house. His friends disown him. Even if the person in the house comes out and saying, who has done this? Miule. And he may look back and say, surely my friends, can you leave me in all this? We were together. Ah, hatukujui. Niuyo, niuyo. That is what is happening here with Judas. Look at this, what I'm calling action verbs. And in quick succession, there in verse 5, and throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. It's a sad end for one who so much was before him. If you talk of experience, he had it. Because not once did we hear when they went out to cast demons and do various other mighty works. They didn't come back and say, Master, we are concerned. One of us is not performing well. None said that. So in terms of experience, he was as active as the others. In terms of privileges, he was everywhere where the others were. Apart from those moments then when he would go out to either buy food for the group or whatever. He was always there. Was his end? Throws in the money in the temple. Departs. And he goes and hangs himself. You see, friends, these people had thirsted for the blood of Jesus. And they had hired Judas to accomplish the work for them. They hired him to betray Jesus. Now, Jesus is condemned. His blood then must unjustly be shed. And these religious people, all they can tell this man is, what is that to us? See to it yourself. All that is nothing. Their conscience does not serve them and alarm them and wake them up. You see, the foolish would mock at sin and appear or behave as though nothing is harmful. So, because of that, they then go on to commit other greater wickedness. And like the rulers, many, unfortunately, many take the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ as nothing. What is that to me? Could it be you are saying that today? What's that to me? Preacher, you seem to be so moved today. What's that to me? But you see, friends, we are describing a condemnation of an innocent person. Blood of an innocent person is to be shed. For the religious leaders, that's nothing to us. We've got work to do. You see, these former partners in wickedness with Judas are now no friends at his hour of desperate need. They're no longer friends. They've abandoned him. I just want to plead, therefore, please watch. Please be warned. Friendship in sin does not pay, will not pay, has never paid. Because in judgment, you must stand alone. But also, as we continue to think of this matter of Judas hanging himself, we see surely the terrible end of those whom Satan enters. We see their terrible end. And especially through the love of money. Of course, we can apply this in all other areas of sin. But our passage deals with money. Sin entered, Satan actually entered Judas through the way of money. He loved money. He was trusted with money, but he had a sinful love of money. And he now reaches a stage where God and God's law, the law of God that he knew, he abandons it because he's welded or he's married to money. It reminds us, friends, of Romans chapter 1, verse 18. What happens when people abandon God? Knowing the will of God, knowing the way of God, but abandoning it and going your own way, it always has its consequences to a point where God says, that's what you want? Fine, you go your way. And that is the case with Judas. And he went his way, and there was going to be no roadblock again. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And it goes on, passage that many of us are familiar with. the terrible end of those who Satan enters. Now, do I leave you just like that? No. I must then say, please watch. Watch against the beginnings of discontentment. A big word. But the beginnings of not being satisfied, not being content. When God gives you something, specifically we are referring to money here. Our passage deals with money. Are you content? Are you saying, God, thank you for what you've said before me? You're the giver of everything. Every stealing, every thief actually says, God is not sufficient to provide for me. I don't trust that God will give me what I need. And so the thief then goes to steal. Judas was with the Lord Jesus all this time, but he never was content. He was therefore discontented. He didn't believe in the supply of God being sufficient. Please watch. For all of us, let's watch. Let's be able to pray. Let us pray. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Whether because there is plenty or when there is scarcity, there is very little. Because God is a loving Father. He will provide. When we take it upon ourselves, then we behave like Judas. And we could very easily land where he landed. Please don't cover yourself under the fact that, but you're a member of the church. I'm a member of this church. I'm sorted out. Surely, my case cannot be like that of Judas. No, please, remember, that's why I keep saying, in terms of experience, Judas had it. In terms of privilege, Judas had it. He was with the Savior, with God, God-man. He did not trust him. He did not believe in him. Well, that's Judas. Just a few gleanings on Judas. Will you learn? Will you learn? The purpose of a church coming to worship God regularly. We saw yesterday in our membership classes, the top reason is to glorify God. We come here that we may glorify God. And we do that joyfully. But you see, in doing that, then we do that through the reading and preaching of his, teaching and preaching of his word. And that's what I am doing here. Preaching and teaching you God's word. Already we got some teaching this morning that so many missed on the fourth commandment. Dear friends, it is the Lord's day. Now I know emergencies can occur. But oh, we just need to adjust ourselves. Because I know tomorrow many will be at their places of work by 7, by 8. And run through the day. But today is the Lord's day. He's given us 6 days in which we can work. We should work. We must work and do all. But today is the Lord's day. Let's remember that. Because then we come together and we learn more about him so that we are preserved not to end up where Judas ended. Throwing all that money, departing, and then going and hanging himself. Should that happen to you? Should that happen to you? But it can happen to you. Judas is here as a genuine, real lesson for us. In the third place, I want us to see something about the hypocrisy of the chief priests. Hypocrisy of the chief priests. Hypocrisy in the sense they were posing to be what they are not. Children, at school, when there is drama, when you are playing during drama and you're playing a position that is not yours, you wear, so you are like a gorilla, you are like some animal, some fierce animal. Or you turn to speak like someone else. There are people who are able to imitate others. And so they can come to the stage and imitate. Usually they do it with the politicians. But you know, as when they do that, we call them hypocrites. Because they're playing a part that is not real. They're faking it. And these chief priests and leaders in Israel were hypocrites. You see, from verse 6, what do we learn? When Judas has thrown it, thrown down the money into the temple and rushes out and goes and hangs himself. These chief priests are not struck, and they bow in much prayer and say, what a desperate situation. Whoa. What has happened to this young man? Let's rush out. Let's help him. No. Remember, they have told him, what's that to us? Go sort it out yourself. They were the leaders in Israel, spiritual leaders. But they abandoned this man at his desperate hour. Instead, they consult with each other. What are we going to do with this money? It has come back. Conclusion, come on, this money, let's not put it in the treasury of the temple because it's blood money. They know it. That's the way they describe it. It's blood money. We can't use it for religious activities. Instead, they say, this money, we are going to use it for a good purpose. You know what? Let's go and buy some land. It's like they lived in Kenya. Land is something so precious to so many of us in Kenya. Verse 7. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field, and having to appear very godly, very, very charitable, they're not going to build a mansion there. The verse goes on to say, they bought the potter's field, listen to this, as a burial place for strangers. It's a burial place for strangers. That's what they thought is the best to do with this. In their wanting to kind of ease their conscience, if they had any remaining. And we are being told in our passage that that place became known as the field of blood. Little did they realize that their wicked action actually goes to fulfill what the scripture already had said. Because verse 9 tells us that this, in fact, is already prophesied. It's been fulfilled, verse 9. Then was fulfilled that had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them to the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now you could profitably read that passage in its context in the Old Testament. But now the Lord allows us to see that the scriptures are so true. God's word is true. It comes to pass. And so we are told there, to this day, verse 8, therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. You know, friends, let's be serious here, surely. The anguish, the sorrow that gripped Judas, it didn't prick the chief priests. But I'm praying and pleading with you, even as I continue to preach, that it would prick your heart. It would prick your heart. As you think of the experience of the wicked, this is what the wicked will experience then. In other words, Mushoe, the wicked people will go through the anguish that Judas went through, that his companions, his colleagues in the wicked business now abandons him. Please be pricked. Benefit from this. Does it raise any concern in you? Any thoughts of something that you did in the past? And as we talk over these things, a sin you committed, but a sin that seemed to have followed you. And it's like, oh no, I'm being reminded of my sin. I'm being reminded of my sin. Is there something like that? Listen, listen, please. Today, there is good news. There is good news, actually. So I'm not just making it hard for you. I'm not turning in the screw and leaving you pinned on the wall. No. There is good news. Don't despair. Don't despair of God's mercy. Listen, that's why I stand here to preach. That's why God allowed the story of Judas hanging himself to be in chapter 27. Of Matthew, not to make us feel bad and to say, if I knew this is going to be the preaching, I wouldn't have come here. No. It is to the end that you'd see there is good news, because God allows it to be here. And you know, we are reading actually about Judas and these hypocrites, but you know what? We are building a case for Jesus. My aim is to present the Lord Jesus. It's to show you that there is hope. He is the good news. Now he must stand alone. As he purchases the righteousness that he then will dispense to all who believe in him. He must stand alone. Remember, Peter tried to follow. Peter messed up much earlier, but that was Peter. He had promised, "I'll never leave you." And then nearer the end, nearer when they came to capture him, he thought he would defend his master and brought out the sword and said, "Master, we must fight here." And quickly, he cut off the ear and he said, "No, no, no, it doesn't go that way." That's Peter. And even though they all ran away, Peter somehow found courage and followed still and thought he could just see the end of the matter. He was terribly embarrassed when girls, you know, servant girls, say, "You're one of them. You are one of them." And he kept denying. Listen, Peter, even your way of speaking reveals that you're one of them. And he said, "No, no, 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 please, please, leave me out of this. Let God curse me." Friends, Peter did wrong. But you know what? The Lord Jesus had to stand alone. He had to be the Savior of the world. We can only have one true Savior, the one I'm presenting to you today. So there is hope. There is hope. That's why I stand here preaching. But you see, friends, if you lack faith and hope, if you don't see Christ as all you need, you can't truly repent. It doesn't help to go back to friends and say, "You know, you betrayed me," but it's no. Even to say, "Actually, I'm wrong. I did wrong." But you're saying it to your friends? No. It must be to God. It must be to God alone. That is where genuine forgiveness can be found. It is Satan who whispers it in people's ear. That is, "It's just a small sin. Come on. Just do it. Go ahead. Do it. It's a small sin." But at the end, he will then say to you, "Your sin is too big. Your sin is too big. Honestly, there's now no mercy for you." Satan does that. So I say, watch against the temptation of counting a sin small and saying, "This is small. This is small. Let me just do it one time. This is small." Last week I showed that one sin allowed, when we give in and fall into one sin, you know what? The next time, the same sin or similar sin will now be easier. There's no big deal. The other one you did, no one saw you. Your conscience bothered you a little, but you moved on. And another opportunity to sin, and it's even greater. Please, you must watch against the temptation to count any sin small. Friends, if you are to repent, let your repentance be to God. Repentance of Judas was not unto salvation. No, it was not directed to God. He should have said, "God, against you, you only have I sinned." King David prayed that prayer. And he was a king and he sinned terribly. He sinned terribly. Immorality or adultery and even causing the death of another. And yet David was forgiven. It is to God you must go. Well, so I'm urging as I close, let us learn to hate sin. Let us learn to hate sin. And actually, to put it to death. If you do not put sin to death, ata kama ile kidogo, sin will put you to death. Judas will remain the wrong beacon, but it's a beacon. Judas will remain to show us that where you do not put sin to death, it's a matter of time. Because John tells us, ilikuwa his habit. He occasionally would take the money which was in the money bag. He was the treasurer. But then, poly. And it reaches a stage where he even sells his master. Friends, sin is bad. It never pays. Yet even now, there is forgiveness in Christ for all sin. Christ receives sinful men, women, boys and girls. We sang it before I started my preaching. Christ receives sinful men. Even me, with all my sin, would you not turn to him? Would you not turn to him and trust him? And you will be forgiven. You know what? That's why. And we will see that next week. That's why the Lord Jesus, questioned by Pilate, you please encourage you, read forward. Pilate asks various questions to Jesus. Quite a number of them he didn't even answer. Pilate marveled. Later Herod would ask. He doesn't even answer. He was determined to purchase our salvation. Look to him. What a savior. What a savior. Even now, if you turn to him by faith, he will forgive you. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word, showing us the Lord Jesus is condemned by the religious leaders. And they make a very tight case as they plan to go to the governor, because they are determined to get rid of him. But I see an innocent man, and that strikes Judas. Finally, it struck Judas. In his case, it was too late. But here we are. And we know our own sins. Some are public. Many of our sins are hidden, so that it's only ourselves and you, O God, who know them. But honestly, you say, Jesus receives sinful men, even me, with all my sin, there is hope. So thank you so much for your word. Take it, use it, O Lord. May the Holy Spirit now do what I can't do, but what must be done if sinners are not to end up like Judas, but to end up trusting in the Lord Jesus and being saved. Your Holy Spirit must work. Lord, take over. Do your work. Thank you for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.